For NSPR News, I'm Mark Albert. It's again time for our weekly check-in with representatives from some of the lead agencies attempting to help campfire survivors. Earlier today, we received updates from Deborah Young, a public information officer from the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, Justin Jacobs, representing the California Governor's Office of Emergency Services, Colette Curtis, spokeswoman for the Town of Paradise, and Butte County spokeswoman Casey Hatcher. We'll start with Justin Jacobs of Cal OES. Justin, I understand we're approaching a milestone.
Thank you again, Mark. We continue to approach about 95% completion for structural debris removal, with more than 10,200 sites cleared to date. 63 crews continue to work throughout the burn scar area. That equates to about 3.3 million tons. Just by comparison, when we had the unfortunate incident in the World Trade Center, they removed about 1.8 million tons of debris in 9 months. So we've almost doubled that in a 9-month span here.
Hey, Justin, I was just up there on the weekend, and I absolutely concur. It's almost night and day. I mean, there's still quite a bit of work to do, but the difference between now and just a few months ago is absolutely tremendous.
Yeah, no, like I said, it's been a great effort and a lot of hard work involved by all the partners. There's still much to be done because ultimately, you know, our goal, as I'm sure is the county and the towns, is to get people back home. But at the end of the day, you know, for the progress and the process so far has been great. And we've returned about 6,000 of those parcels back to the county.
But to tag on to that, not everybody took the step that they were supposed to sign up for fire debris removal in the county. 48 parcels are non-compliant, and this week the county took its first formal step in enforcement. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow, we'll be posting 48 parcels with summary abatement notices and mailing those out to the property owners. That is about a 30-day process, so property owners can appeal that notice if they'd like, and all that information is included on the notice. And if they don't, the county will seek warrants to go onto the property and then have the state do that property cleanup. It's really important that we make sure that that fire debris gets removed because it poses a public health and safety concern.
And I just wanted to jump in for the town. We are also going through the same process. We have about 100 properties that are in that same situation that did not sign up either for the state program or the alternative program. And we have made many, many efforts to try and reach those folks. And unfortunately, we are going to begin that abatement process. We have sent out those notices, and it will follow the same process that the county is going through. So just to be aware of that, that there will be no properties that will be allowed to have debris remaining that does have to be removed.
If I might, if someone hasn't taken care of, hasn't signed up for the government program, hasn't signed up for the alternative program at this point, how much more would it cost to go through the non-compliance process and have a lien thrown on and have the work done anyway?
Well, if you sign up for the government-sponsored program by completing the right of entry, you provide your insurance. And we can't duplicate any insurance proceeds that people have with taxpayer dollars. So all the property owner is responsible for is any debris removal insurance coverage that they have. So the county will ultimately collect that. If they're uninsured, the program is no cost. But if they go through the abatement program, we will lien their property. It's a requirement of the state for the county or the town to lien their property for the full cost of the cleanup. We're thinking that could be anywhere from $80,000 to $100,000, and that will be that will go on in the same position as property taxes. So it's important that if people get these notices, they can still sign up for the government program. They can still complete a right of entry form before we go to the court and get a warrant and go on and clean up that property.
So I guess your personal finance tip of the day is sign up for the program.
Yes,
that's right.
Yeah, ultimately, we just want to get that debris removed. We don't want to lien anyone's property. So again, like Casey said, even if you have received that notice, please do contact us and we can help you move through that process to avoid the lien.
Access to clean drinking water is also a major issue. Here's Casey Hatcher with info for those in unincorporated areas, and Colette Curtis has an update for those serviced by the Paradise Irrigation District.
For anyone that's living inside an area served by a water district, which in the county is the Del Oro Water Company, they have to replace the water line from the meter to the home for anybody that's rebuilding. We are working collaboratively with Del Oro Water Company. As soon as we receive a permit, we notify them so they can do testing on their service lines associated with those parcels. And that has created a pretty smooth process to reduce the time associated with being able to issue that permit. There's a lot of people in the county who are actually on their own private wells, and so there is also a requirement to make sure that the well is tested and the service line between the well and the home are replaced as well.
Yeah, I'm really glad that Casey mentioned that about the water. At the town, we have received quite a few questions about, you know, a lot of people saying, well, I'm waiting for the water to be cleared before I start, you know, my rebuilding process. Well, you actually don't have to wait for PID to clear the whole town. You can begin your rebuilding process. And once we get your building permit, we will notify PID, just like the county notifies Del Oro, to go in and do the testing and any replacement that may be necessary to get clean potable water to that property by the time the certificate of occupancy would be issued. So far at the town, we have received 279 building permit applications, and of those, we have issued 183, and three homes now have been issued their certificate of occupancy. So they have moved in and they're in their homes. We're really excited about that. We just issued another one this week, and we actually have another few that are getting very close. I also wanted to mention that out of those 279 building permit applications that we have received, 64 of those are for manufactured homes. And so that comes out to about 23% of the applications that we have received. It's a small sample size, but I will say that those numbers are actually in line with the number of manufactured homes we had in the town of Paradise prior to the campfire.
The county really is getting a similar question, and we see right around 40 to 50% of our building permit activity post-campfire for rebuild in the burn area is manufactured housing. But that's pretty consistent. About 40% of the housing stock in the unincorporated area generally is manufactured housing.
And now Deborah Young with FEMA.
I would like to start by doing a little rumor control today. There has been talk that people other than campfire survivors have been living in housing provided by FEMA at the temporary housing group sites, and that is a violation of the regulations that govern disaster assistance. The only people allowed to stay in FEMA temporary housing are members of households who have been approved for housing assistance and identified as eligible for direct housing. So if anyone out there suspects that someone is violating that regulation, you're urged to call the FEMA Disaster Fraud Hotline at 866-720-5721. That number again is 866-720-5721. Currently licensed into FEMA Direct Housing, 514 households, with 28 households still waiting for housing. 119 households have been licensed into Gridley since the opening of that site a few weeks ago. And at Hegan and Aztec, 49 families have now been licensed in. With the completion of these last two FEMA direct housing sites, families who have been staying in temporary housing in several outlying counties as much as an hour or so away are now able to move back to Butte County, and they can be closer to their former home. So that's good news to report today.
That was Deborah Young from FEMA, Colette Curtis with the Town of Paradise, Casey Hatcher with Butte County, and Justin Jacobs, a spokesman for Cal OES. Many of the key agencies are holding a monthly community information meeting. It's coming up on Tuesday at the Paradise Alliance Church, beginning at 6 p.m. For NSPR News, I'm Mark Albert.